The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Smirched planet. We used to think pretty highly of ourselves as an advanced culture, but there has been a great deal of effort to, shall we say, influence, if not program, the mass of thinking people on this planet into perceiving it as a wreck and a lost cause. Not yet. Not yet. But it will be unless we do something. And I go out again today. I'm not alone. I'm seeing about I would honestly say 20% of the normal vehicular traffic. I don't know where the people have gone. Doesn't matter if it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. There in this town, in this area, are not very many cars on the road. And I can only come up with a couple of possibilities, as I've mentioned. People are either sick and they're home. They're either dead and they're not home. Or they just are at work and you don't see them. I don't know. There are a lot of cars parked in front of homes. Let's put it that way. And I do think a lot of people are sick. They may not be terminally sick. They may not be tragically sick. But they don't feel well. They've quit their jobs. They're getting some kind of relief, perhaps, depending upon the state or the county. They are not well, so they stay home. What's happening, and we'll talk more about this in hours two and three tonight, is very simply that if they've been shot up, their immune systems are beginning to die. They're disintegrating. They're imploding. They've been destroyed and are being destroyed. And what you're seeing is when you have AIDS or VADs, you have no defenses. And everything that comes along, even the common cold, could kill you. That's where we are. That's yet another aspect of this astonishingly lethal bioweapon that has been forced into the arms of so many people around the world. Maybe 4 billion now. We don't know for sure, but it's a lot. They're claiming about 200 million here in the U.S. And the tragic thing is, once your immune system starts to fade, falter, and die, you're going to die. I hate saying that. But let me add quickly to that that for all of you out there who have been vaxxed, who are doing well, maybe you got lucky and got one of the saline shots early on. About 40%, 50% maybe early on, this 8, 9, 10 months ago, were saline. They had to have people running around saying, look, I'm fine, get the shot. Well, it was a trick, and it worked pretty well. So all in all, do not turn your back on your fellow human being, whether he or she is vaxxed or not. I'm not saying run up and hug them, because we have a shedding issue, which we're going to talk about tonight, too, that is getting worse, apparently. But have compassion. Try to help when you can. I mean, just imagine if this works out the way it looks like it's going to. Everyone who's taken the shot, in good conscience, in good faith, whatever, or under mandate, which is as evil as hell, those people, very likely, are going to die in the next 2-3 years. I can't even believe I'm saying this, but that's the decision I've come to after watching this extremely closely for over 2 years now. So Erica will be on tonight, hours 2 and hour 3 as well, with Nurse Ann, who is coming back with more staggering information from inside a major New York hospital. Staggering. All right, first up tonight, Mitchell Henderson. Thank you for coming on early, Mitch. We appreciate it very much. The world is teetering on all sorts of fun military issues, so I guess you're going to kind of bring us up to date on that with a sit-rep.
Yes. Sit-rep just means situation report. It's what you do interimly in the military when your things are developing. You give situation
sure.
reports.
Yep.
Coming up. So I want to talk about that and a little bit about self-defense tonight, too.
Your new phone sounds very good.
Oh, thank you. I talked to Todd about it. He liked it, too. He said it
yeah,
was much clearer.
Much better. You deserve it. Good. Good job.
Okay, so we have heard the pedophile Marxist Chairman Biden and Marxist Foreign Minister Blinken say that no U.S. troops will be used to defend the Ukraine. Unfortunately, our arrogant and ignorant executive branch forgets that it is Congress that declares war. In 1898, Republican President William McKinley was against war with Spain and promised to veto any declaration of war. However, Congress passed a declaration of war against Spain with a two-thirds veto-proof majority, and we went to war with Spain. The Constitution gives Congress the power to declare war. Congress has only declared war 5 times, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, and World War II. Not a single one of our other wars was legal or declared. They were simply called something else than war, using a different term to get around the Constitution. That's what it's all about, is getting around the Constitution. However, although it is the Democratic Party that hates Russia and wants war, plenty of Republicans are also calling for war with Russia. There are enough politicians of both parties to make a veto-proof declaration of war. In the Italian newspaper Il Manifesto, Republican Mississippi Senator Roger Wicker, member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, stated that, and I'm quoting, "We cannot rule out direct military intervention against Russia to defend Ukraine, and we do not rule out the first use of nuclear weapons." Okay, so he added that it could be used even if it was the Russians that live in the Donbass that attacked Ukrainian positions. So it doesn't have to be Russian troops crossing the border, just within the civil war there by itself. If any advance is made by the Russians into the rest of Ukraine, that could spark a war. Not only that, but if you remember, Biden threatened sanctions against Russia if they invaded. Well, Bob Menendez, senator of New Jersey, is introducing a sanctions package that they're going to impose even if Russia does nothing at all. And Russia has said plainly, if we put sanctions on them, we will pay dearly. Okay, there will be harsh consequences for sanctioning them. What these people don't listen to anybody. They don't even listen to their constituents. I mean, American people, we have no say in government at all. These guys just decide things by themselves, don't take anybody else into consideration.
Oh, okay? No, they're not our government. They have nothing to do with our government.
No.
Nothing.
No. they are not servants of the people. The people are now the servants of the state. So,
amen.
As a result, if Russia invades Ukraine, they would be prudent to launch a nuclear attack on those NATO nations that agree to support Ukraine. Not all do. They will be nuking us, of course. First, the European Union is facing pushback from many member states. Poland accuses Germany of trying to push the EU towards a single federal state and says that many EU nations want to remain independent and, quote, are not enthusiastic about the prospect of building a German Fourth Reich on the basis of the European Union. Those that do not want a United States of Europe include, right now, Hungary, Slovenia, and Romania. This shows the lack of unity within the European Union. Germany sees us walking into a war with Russia and wants no part of it. The German people do not want to get involved and don't want to see their nation destroyed by nukes. 59% of the Germans do not even want to send arms to support Ukraine. Neither the far left nor the far right in Germany want to get involved in any way against Russia. Germany needs Russian fuel supplies because they, like Chairman Biden, reduced their energy production by closing half of their nuclear reactors down before they had any replacement, making Russian fuel supplies essential. Germany wants to make Ukraine a neutral nation, not included in NATO. Croatian President Zoran Milanovic stated that Croatia would call all of its military home if there was war in Ukraine and would not participate in the war with Russia. He said Croatia would withhold its troops from Eastern European NATO contingents if the situation on the Ukrainian-Russian border spirals into full-blown conflict. He also accused the U.S. of aggravating the situation in Ukraine and says this has nothing to do with Ukraine or Russia. It has to do with the dynamics of American domestic politics. Also keep in mind that Serbia is Russia's ally in the Balkans, and Croatia may end up allied with Serbia against Bosnia. Hungary says that it does not need NATO reinforcements to be placed on its border with Ukraine. Hungary also stated that it was staunchly opposed to Ukraine joining NATO, ever. Defense Minister Tibor Benko emphasized that, quote, Ukraine acted against the Hungarians living in western Ukraine that was taken from Hungary in World War II. Hungary expects war. They have started issuing Hungarian passports to ethnic Hungarians living in Ukraine so they can take refuge in Hungary when the war comes. Ukrainians will not be welcome.
Okay. Oh, interesting. All right. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Only Great Britain, Finland, and the Baltic nations have threatened war with Russia. Poland says that they'll defend themselves if attacked. The Netherlands, Belgium, other countries like that, they're all in for it. So consider this. Only one nation on Earth is fully and completely integrated with the U.S. military, and that's Singapore. Europe is made up of many nations and speaks many languages. What there is not in NATO is something called unity of command. Unity of command is essential to winning wars. NATO's only declared war was in Afghanistan, and they lost. Most NATO nations had different rules of engagement and even different objectives in Afghanistan, so there was never a sense of a unified objective. Not only did they lose, but NATO ally and leader ISAF did not even bother to notify the NATO allies that it was leaving Afghanistan. We almost left them in the lurch and did not include them in the decision-making loop. They are used to woke American arrogance. It is simple. You cannot win a war led by a committee. NATO is a committee. And all of the other, all of the allies do not agree.
Well,
it's
you know, Mitch.
Russia. Go ahead.
Sorry, I really have a great deal of difficulty. I understand how the Western mainstream media, the owned media, works. I get that, but I don't mm-hmm. understand how NATO or anybody could take war with Russia in any fashion other than the most dire consequences, they're going to get their asses kicked and handed back to them in pieces if this happens. The Russians will roll through Ukraine, as you've made clear. No question. I think they're going to take Eastern Europe and make buffer states out of them, not rename them. They'll let them Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, etc. But they want a buffer. They'll go right up to Eastern Germany's, the border of Eastern Germany. That's what I think. I think they're going to take more land. If this happens, they will not mess around. They're not going to be surrounded anymore. They've had it.
They're going to settle the problem. They're going to solve it once and for all.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's time. Look, I'm not pro-war, but this can't go on like this. This is ridiculous. This is so stupid.
Well, what it is is Russia's the whipping boy for all the virtue signalers in the West.
Oh, yeah.
Because, see, Russia still believes in morality, something
yep.
we don't, okay,
yep.
believe in.
Yep.
So this all probably suits Russia because only the UK and France are nuclear powers, and Russia can wipe the UK off the map. Russia is also aware that there are 100 B-61 nuclear gravity bombs in 5 European nations, at Aviano and Getty in Italy, Buchel in Germany, Kleinbrogel in Belgium, and Volkel in the Netherlands.
Okay.
All but Germany are bellicose towards Russia. Turkey has half of those bombs at Incirlik Air Force Base, and Turkey has the largest army in NATO next to the U.S. Turkey has assured Ukraine that they will send troops to fight the Russians. They have a big enough army to take these 50 nukes away from the United States. Russia will attack Turkey if Turkey supports Ukraine. There is simply no way that the invasion of Ukraine by Russia does not go nuclear. In view of Senator Wicker's comments, Russia would be foolish not to preemptively launch a nuclear attack on the USA when they cross the border into Ukraine. World War III could be over in an hour. You may not even know that it has started unless you live in a target area. You used to get at least 30-minute warning with incoming ICBMs, but with Russia's hypersonic nukes, it could hit American target in 5 minutes. If you live in a rural, there will be radio silence. However, not all nations will be attacked by nukes. Get yourself a shortwave radio and put it in the Faraday cage. You can then tune in to other nations' radio transmissions and find out what just happened. Are we getting ready for this war? Our nuclear triad consists of ICBMs in silos spread across Montana, Wyoming, and the Dakotas. They are old and decrepit, and the airmen that man them know they are not combat effective. Our strategic nuclear bombers in Louisiana, Missouri, North Dakota, and Montana are in better shape, but Russia can shoot all of them down, as well as the ICBMs, because their anti-missile defenses are way ahead of ours. So that leaves a third part of the triad remaining to strike back, our submarine launch ballistic missiles.
Right.
One quickie.
You saw the pictures yesterday, or day before, of S-400s being rolled through the streets of Moscow and being set up to protect the city. S-400s. This is big-time stuff.
S-400s have the benefit that our anti-missile defense systems have one shot at hitting an incoming missile. The S-400 has four shots at hitting it. So they have a much better air defense system than we do.
Submarines. You're going
submarines, but we must get them back to port to remove the conventional cruise missiles and put SLBMs on it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. First, we must communicate with them. The Hal Turner Show said that there is a spike in activity at the Jim Creek Naval Radio Station in Washington State, which is our means of communicating with our submarine fleet.
That's near Bremerton, I think. Anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
And I think in Bellingham is a sub base up there. So
Bremerton's a big one. Oh, no, big. There's like nukes, six, everything. Yeah.
There's six targets right in the Seattle area. Six
correct.
Independent nuclear targets there.
And all of you people living east of Bremerton, Bellingham, Seattle, military installations, you better be prepared to go underground if those targets are ever hit, because you're going to get rained on with deadly radioactivity. And that includes people east of all the underground silos in Montana and Wyoming, and the whole northern hemisphere is going to be covered with radiation. Go ahead.
Okay, so on January 17th, the Russian news outlet Pravda detailed a Boré-class nuclear submarine armed with 16 Balava ballistic missiles with 10 warheads apiece. Multiple independently targeted reentry vehicles, or MIRVs,
yep,
with a total of 160 nuclear warheads, approached the U.S. coast undetected by the U.S. Navy.
I saw the video of it. Did you see the video of it?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yes, I did. It was Pravda. Yeah. Pravda is the Russian newspaper. It means truth.
Right.
This one submarine could have hit most U.S. targets. We would have located it once it launched all of its missiles, but that would be too late. Each warhead is about 100 kilotons, which is 20 times more powerful than the nuke that hit Hiroshima. Each missile can travel 6,000 miles and can be guided and maneuvered to avoid both detection and anti-missile batteries. Keep in mind that it is only 1,500 miles from the Atlantic to the Pacific coast of the USA. So the Balava can hit anywhere in the USA and does not even have to be near our coast. Russia has five of these submarines, so that means 800 warheads that they carry in total. The problem that we have is that we mistake the current state of Russian military readiness of the 1990s before Putin modernized and professionalized the Russian military. I've talked to military officers recently who actually believe that the Russian military is a mess. It is dangerous to underestimate.
What the hell rabbit hole do they live in? This is ridiculous.
Well, they remember what they saw in the 1990s, and they don't think anything's changed, because not much has changed over here either, for the better anyway. So we overestimate ourselves. Andrea Whitberg, writing for The American Thinker, published an article titled, "The Biden Administration is Fundamentally Transforming the Military." However, since Chairman Biden assumed control of the American Politburo a year ago, the Biden regime has launched an all-out attack on the integrity of the American military. She wrote, and I quote, "While Obama was obsessed with LGBT representation in the military, Biden is taking it to the next level by bringing in critical race theory and openly seeking to purge Republican and Trump supporters. No institution in America is safe from the poisonous racism of critical race theory and the 1619 Project, which posit that the United States history is rooted in slavery and white supremacy, and that whiteness is an incurable disease. The institution whose subversion poses the greatest threat to our national security is the military. Now, overseen by Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, a determined advocate of these repulsive anti-American views, Austin has ordered a purging of the military ranks of what he calls extremists, defined as opponents of these noxious views and supporters of Donald Trump and the Capitol protests on January 6th. Austin is purging whiteness and patriotic pride from the ranks of our frontline defenders. Austin was a natural choice for an administration that seems to value the skin color, gender, and politics of its appointees over all other characteristics.
Right.
If you are a white male, you are a part of the problem. You cannot have an effective military if the troops hate their country, themselves, and each other."
But I think
Yes,
Mitch, that quote is devastating. And I think we need to keep in mind that Austin was placed. Remember, he didn't just happen to bumble into it. He was placed there. And yes. His, I hope that's better, Todd. Let me see. All right. He was placed there to do exactly what he's done, be incompetent. He's a moron. We've got an idiot in there. We have a military that is now the laughingstock of the developed first world, no question, and maybe the second or third. I'll bet some of the second world countries think they could beat us. Maybe they can't. But Austin has been a catastrophe in short order. Go ahead.
So on January 27th, Chairman Biden made a sexual harassment a crime in the military. Let's read between the lines. It's a crime for white males to do it, but it is an integral part of feminist and African-American as well as LGBT culture to sexually harass. So they are incapable of the crime. It is a purging tool to destroy white men's careers and get them out of the military.
Okay, talk a little louder into the phone, Mitch. You're good. Okay. Just a little louder.
How's this? Is that good?
All right. That's better.
I just brought it in a little closer.
There you go.
Okay, so Russia and China see our military weakness, our government actively attacking our armed forces and our law enforcement, and they know it. Our government is attacking our economy, our political structure, our society, and our culture. Never in modern times have we been so weak. They have a strategic window of opportunity now that they won't have again for a century. If they don't take it, they will look weak and lose face. If they don't attack before November 2022, they may have to face a Republican majority Congress that will stop America's drift into weakness and failure.
Right.
Their opportunity will have passed, and they will lose the mandate of heaven. They will have failed, and America can continue to bully them. There was a radio news announcement that was a threat to the American people. It said that a survey showed that 33% of Americans thought that Russia is the victim and America is the evil bully. But when war breaks out, this is what they said, those Americans will have to shut up or go to prison for sedition. Okay, you can't do sedition until we go to war. But they've already targeted a third of Americans for criminal charges. Okay, we have to shut up about COVID and vaccines or be censored or canceled. Never in America have you had to shut your mouth about so many things. In the UK, even Orwell's 1984 is being removed from university libraries and a trigger warning being placed on it for students to avoid reading. Lies are never censored. It is always the truth that they fear and censor. They don't care about the general warfare. They care about your obedience. At Brigham and Young Hospital in Boston, they're refusing a 31-year-old male a heart transplant because he refuses to take the vaccine. If this does not open your eyes to the fact that they don't care about your life, they only care about your obedience, nothing will. The survey said 16% of Americans see Russia as a liberator from the American Marxist dictatorship. All of this is encouraging to the enemy. According to the Washington Post and University of Maryland poll, found that 34% of Americans believe that the violence against the government is justified, especially when the Bill of Rights is violated, which is more commonplace under the Marxist Biden regime. 34% of Americans believe violence is necessary to change things. That's how bad it is here. Okay, so
unreal.
Now I want to
34, one-third of Americans think that violence is mandated, speaking of mandates, to make change here. Wow.
Yeah, those are probably the 33% they're going to arrest for sedition, for speaking in Russia's favor. Okay, I think that includes me, as far as talking about it. So let me get into some self-defense for the coming collapse of civilization. So the violence that you have to deal with in a post-nuclear world war will be criminals and criminal gangs. Humans will be fighting for resources. They will be fighting for their lives. The criminal gangs have been getting organized for the past 2 years, while the Marxists in our government is disorganizing law-abiding citizens by defunding the police. They have also made people fear being in the militia because that makes them a domestic terrorist. I can assure you that even if you do not form a militia, you are still a domestic terrorist because of your white skin. So you should not be afraid. The people of color have become emboldened with a sense of entitlement, but white people have been neutered by a sense of shame or just out of fear of losing their jobs or property. It's our cancel culture. So if you're not organized, it's too late, and you will have to organize on the fly. So let me tell you how you can do that. So let's start with one man. You should have three weapons. A high-powered semi-automatic rifle with a scope on it. You will be a sniper. Two, a semi-automatic pistol for close quarters combat. This is for shooting at about 10 feet and closer. The longer the pistol barrel, the more accurate the shooting. Pistols do not have knockdown power. Rifles do. And three, a .22 caliber long rifle to hunt small game with. These are ideal, but you may have to work with what you have available. Taking better guns from those you kill is okay if you just killed them. If you find a dead body with a rifle, tie a string to it and get back and pull it to you. Bodies and even weapons laying out could be booby-trapped. This is common in war. This is even in anarchy situations. Okay, there are two parts to a gunfight. First, you must avoid getting shot. And second, you must shoot your attacker. To avoid getting shot, you must use covering concealment. Cover stops bullets. A house, even a brick house, is not bulletproof. Never get caught inside a house. Your home is a decoy. As the criminals head for it, you should be in a sniper position outside the house and have the freedom to maneuver. You will not want to shoot from the same place for more than once. Concealment is just not being seen. If you can be seen, you can be hit. So when you move your sniping position from one spot to the next, you need to be concealed by bushes, rocks, or even a ditch. If you have a 7.62 millimeter NATO round, you can shoot 600 yards. If your opponent has an AR platform, their effective range is about 300 yards. It's your life. You need every advantage you can get. Okay, shoot from behind cover and lay down to present the smallest target possible. Never shoot over something. Lay down and shoot around it to minimize your visibility. Wear camouflage or clothing that makes it hard for them to pick you out of your environment. Paint your face to avoid glare and to break up the features. Put darker paint or charcoal on your features that stand out, like your cheeks, eyebrows, and chin, lighter color for the other areas. Do not attract attention to yourself. Never walk on ridge lines or out in the open. If you can be seen, you can be hit. Always walk under concealment. Do not walk on trails, because that is where booby traps and man traps will be. You may become somebody's dinner. Do not attract attention to yourself. Practice noise and light discipline. The gear you wear or carry must not make noise. When I was in the infantry, this was called having your shit wired tight. This means taping things or tying things together so that they don't make noise. Be very careful with light and fire. They can give away your position, as can smoke. In the summer, you can put out tightly sealed gallon plastic jugs with some water in them. Put them out far from your camp. During the day, the water will heat up and cause the bottles to pop and make noise. And during the night, the water will cool and make the pop when the bottle caves in. These will cause people that are hunting you to be distracted and may even shoot towards the gallon jugs. 1 liter soda bottles will work well. They just have to be able to seal tight. These are basic combat survival skills. Okay. So your second person will be the team leader and sniper spotter. Or it could be you could just switch places. The spotter must identify target priorities for the sniper. First, you want to take out the enemy in order of their threat to you. If you are in a good place, you should prioritize targets accordingly. For example, first, the radio. They can use it to call for help. If you can get the radio and radio man, it is best. But the radio itself is the biggest threat to you. Second, any crew-served weapons, these are like machine guns and grenade launchers or other rockets, hit the guys operating them. Three, commanders and leaders to create confusion. Four, medics to destroy morale. Five, wound any woman that you can catch in the open. Hopefully she will scream. She will attract the males into the open so that you can shoot them. The team leader's spotter should have a high-powered semi-automatic rifle so he can help out the sniper. He should have a pistol for close-quarters combat. He should have a laser rangefinder and a decent spotting scope so he can feed this information to the sniper. The third man is a rear guard that watches the sniper's back so they can concentrate on their targets. The rear guard will protect from enemies sneaking up behind you. He should have a carbine, like a Mini 14, an AR or AK platform, with a reflex scope, like a holographic scope, so that they can quickly acquire a target. On the march, he will be in the rear.
What do you think of the red dots? They're all over the place now. Yeah.
Well, those are quick too. The important thing is that you can acquire your target quickly. Okay, you don't have a lot of time to aim. And I went down to a Border Patrol station in Santa Teresa, New Mexico, with my dad. It was a retired Border Patrol's meeting. And I used a holographic Skype that they use on things. And it was just beautiful. You can be very sloppy. It's like when you look through that holographic sight where you see the dot, no matter how you're holding the rifle, that's where the bullet's going to go. Okay.
It's true. Some people call it cheating. It's that amazing.
Yeah. Well, cheating in war is a good idea. Never be dissuaded from doing that. Okay.
Right.
So the fourth man is a flank guard who will protect the flank while the snipers are moving to a different location. Each location should be random. He should be armed like the rear guard with a carbine with a reflexive sight. The fifth man fills out the team. He will be the point man who goes out in front while moving positions and runs into an enemy. He should have a semi-automatic shotgun firing buckshot or flechette rounds. He needs to put out a lot of firepower fast to keep the enemy's heads down and gives the rest of the team time to move up and help destroy the enemy. Now that you have five people, when you are moving to contact, you can do bounding overwatch to protect yourself. Each sniper will set up with one guy at least to watch the other sniper team and give them cover in case they are attacked. So, like two men overwatch, three men moving. Then when the three men get into an overwatch position, they will let the other two guys go ahead, bound ahead of them and watch them until they get in a position where they can cover. Okay, so it was that. Clear to understand how that works, the bounding overwatch.
Got it. You're gonna have your own business here pretty soon. Survival camp. Mitch Henderson.
Right. So once you have two teams, you have a squad and can start using small unit tactics. Now you can move from the defense to the offense. The sole purpose of war is to destroy your enemy. Everybody needs to beat that into their head. The sole purpose of fighting is to destroy the enemy, not to give them mercy, not to cut them slack, not to let them slip by, but to destroy them, all of them, okay? You have to be resolute in your mind about this. There is no other purpose. There is no second-place winner in a fight. You must win or you die. Tactics are simple. To attack a position, the fire team will lay down suppressive fire on the enemy position. The second team, the maneuver team, will sneak up to the enemy's flank. Once the maneuver team is ready to rush onto the enemy position, the fire team will continue to fire to keep the enemy's head down and shift their fire away from the oncoming maneuver team. That way, during the whole time that maneuver team is coming onto their position, they think the fire team is still shooting at them. Okay. So this has been the essence of warfare since the beginning of war. To win, you must turn your enemy's flank. You'll hear that over and over in things. It's called turning the enemy's flank. Okay? It's the way we've always fought wars. Okay? There's nothing new in it. Okay? So, two teams can travel in bounding overwatch. One moves while the other team covers that moving. You're still going to want to move in concealed environments. I mean, we have people talking about drones and all these sensors and stuff like that, but basically the cheapest thing you can do is to be camouflaged and to hide in the bushes. That's cheaper than anything else that you can come up with, okay? So I want to give a few references here because time is short, and you can just punch this in on Google, and it should bring up a PDF manual. So FM23-10 is the sniper training manual.
Okay.
Also, the U.S. Marine Corps, USMC FM1-36, is called sniping. Okay. So you can just type those in and get military manuals, and you can get training. You don't even have to go to the bookstore. Just type it in, get the PDF thing, print it out. You've got the manual. You don't have to wait. Okay. So sniping is actually it takes some skill and stuff. There's a lot of things you have to take into account. Some people can do it intuitively. If you've been shooting a lot over many years and stuff, you can just become a good shot. But it's better to go ahead and seek out some sort of training, even if it's a manual. These manuals are written for eighth graders, so you can figure out from the manual how to operate your scope, how to, you know, adjust for windage and do everything you have to do. Because, it's like your first shot, it's best if it hits. Okay. Because as soon as you shoot, you give away your position. So you want to hurry up and get the people that you're shooting at before they get you. Okay. But as a sniper, you have advantage over them. Okay. Sniping is good in the city. It's good in the countryside. You can even do it in flatlands. I mean, as long as there's some open space that you can see across. Okay, but it's like on the fly. If you have not prepared previously, then this is how, when everything falls apart, you're going to run into other like-minded people, find people that you trust, perhaps some old friends and stuff, and they can become your squad, your team, whatever. Okay, and then you just build on that. Okay? So, when you have a squad, you're going to have 11 men because you're going to have one extra person to be the squad leader. Now, the importance of a team leader and a squad leader is going back to what I was saying before, and that is unity of command. You can't have a committee. You can't sit and discuss what you're going to do. One person has to call that shot fast. Okay. That's how you win, in war. So, our government is such a mess, Jeff. I mean, it's just like they are the greatest danger to the American people that exists.
In American history, this particular group.
Yes, they're the greatest danger to our nation and to our people that we have ever had.
Yep. Agree. Wow. Well, you're going to get a lot of offers to come live at your convenience at someone's 50-acre retreat and lead the resistance. You'll have no problem. Now, your knowledge is terrific. So these are all very important programs, and I hope you all listen to them several times, pass them around. You can find them all in Mitchell Henderson's columnist section as well. People still have... They often have too many guns, too many calibers, too much ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you need a shotgun, you need a high-powered semi-automatic rifle, and you need a good handgun. And you know, a .22 is nice. That's it. That's really all you need.
That's the small game. You're dragging the .22 along just for food. Okay.
Right. The red dot, I've been doing a lot of research into these. The red dot sights are ridiculously accurate and easy. And you can use the iron sights and actually look right through them, too, if it ever failed on you, which it shouldn't. The Holosun makes
right.
one, and the battery lasts 50,000 hours, and it has a shake-awake function. You just pick the gun up, and it immediately goes into active state. It's wild. The technology is something, really something.
Well, you know, if you've got the time and you've got the money... you have to think along the lines that they're thinking. What do our governments spend money on? They spend money on listening devices so they can listen to the enemy talk. They spend it on optics so that they can see far away and see things and stuff. Well, you can do that too. They have this thing called an action ear that you wear like a headset, but it has a little microphone on it. And I have used one before. And I've listened to a conversation a mile away, and I could hear every word they said clearly. So what you're listening for is low murmurs, rustling in the bushes, stuff like that, okay, to listen for people to come. At nighttime, listening is more important than in the daytime. Okay, in the daytime, you should use any optics you can get. I mean, even an astronomical telescope can see cross country quite a ways, quite a distance, to see what's coming so that you have time to prepare. Binoculars, of course, are always useful. Anything that extends your vision and your hearing is useful.
How about,
and they have products that do this.
Night vision scopes or night vision, even just a night vision monocular gives you own the night. It's amazing.
Yes.
I've been out there with one. They're remarkable.
About 20 years ago, I bought a Russian night vision scope that fits on your thing. It's a binocular night vision scope.
Uh-huh.
It still works today off of a AA battery or a couple of AA batteries. It works just fine.
I remember when they first began importing those. Yeah.
Fine in the night. Yeah. I think it's... I was trying to think of the company. I can't think of it right now. Well, there's other things you can do, too. I have a friend that has a thermal sight. I used to use thermal sights in the Army a lot, and they're wonderful. You can actually see people walking around in buildings, inside the building. You can see through the walls with the thermal sight.
Well, they cost a little bit of money, I would think.
They're a fortune. They cost a fortune. I think the cheapest I could find, like a thermal sight to mount on a rifle, was $5,000 or $6,000. Okay, you can get. I went down to a gun show and I got a beautiful, beautiful night vision scope that you mount on a rifle. It's actually a sighting scope that's night vision, and it only costs $750. So, shop around, and listen, if it's just a monocular that you're holding up, it's better than nothing, okay? So don't worry about
monoculars
you
are $3,000 to $4,000, and you're telling me you can get a night vision scope for a rifle for less than $1,000? That's remarkable.
For $750.
Send me that, will you? I'm curious. I'd like to see more about that.
Okay, I got it at a gun show, but it's brand new. It's a brand new one. It had never been used before and stuff. So,
good for you.
And usually night vision also has a little switch on it. Like my Russian ones has a little infrared switch where I can turn the infrared light on, which is is invisible to the human eye. But what it is, it's like putting a flashlight on the area that you can see with the night vision scope. You can see everything clearer and crisper with it and stuff. So, if you can, try to stick to the ammunition that the government uses. They use 7.62 times 51 NATO rounds. They use the 5.56 .56 millimeter. Okay, they use a 45 caliber, a 40 caliber, or a 9 millimeter. Okay, are the ammunition that are most available.
Right. Question.
At any time. Yes.
Can you, and I've been told this before, but your opinion, can you run 5.56 and 2.23 with no problem?
You can in a pinch. Okay. What you'll find is if the rifle is stamped for 2.23 and you put a 5.56 in there, you might get a few jams and vice versa. If it's stamped with 2.23 and you put a 5.56, it could jam, and it could jam the other way around. But it's not going to reliably jam, okay? It's just, it's more likely.
Most of the time it's going to go off, okay.
And yeah, most AKs, of the time it's going to work.
AKs that are chambered 223 can take 5.56 identically, I'm told. AKs are more forgiving. It's quite a different.
Yes, they
platform.
Are. They have bigger tolerances. The AK-47 was created to take a lot of abuse. They have a very simple mechanism and take a lot of abuse.
Brilliant.
So.
It was a German design, you know. The Russians took it at the end of the war and developed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another one.
Yep.
Mitchell, thank you. Superb information, as
welcome.
Always. Got a great new phone. We can hear you clearly now, and that's always a plus. So we'll talk to you next week.
I'm glad.
Yes? Yeah, no, it was worth it. Good job. Okay.
Thank you
very much, Mitch. Good night.
Okay. Thank you, and thank everybody out there.
You bet. All right, Mitchell Henderson. And we will be back. Erica joins me next hour, and then Nurse Ann comes the hour after that. And, boy, do we have some material for you. All right. Hang on.